Many Texas State students are creeping back in town. And just to think about what's going to happen this year is kind of scary. But this is a new decade, 2020. This is the 20s. And I want you to think for a second, where are you going to be in 10 years from right now? And when it's 2030? So some of you are struggling because you're going to have to get a job for the first time. You're going to be out in the real world. You're going to have graduated. I'll be 53. I'll be in my prime. Come on. I'm ready 10 years from now. Have you seen the Face app? It's an app that you can get, take a picture of yourself, and then it does a time lapse, and it'll give you a 10-year version of yourself just within like 5 or 10 seconds. And it can be kind of depressing. I mean, it's wrinkles and gray hair and all this kind of stuff. Well, I went ahead and did it. I put my picture in, and this is what came out. This is me 10 years from now. So, yeah, I don't know. Y'all weren't supposed to laugh that hard. Man, let's take it off. Let's just take, it's distracting. So where will you be? What will you look like? What will your life be like? Jesus has an answer for us to demystify it and to take the fear away, to take the anxiousness away. Jesus has a vision for you, a 2020 vision that's really the vision that we should have for the rest of our life. And he talks about it in Matthew 6:33. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Zone in on that. Focus in on that. Let that be your vision. His kingdom and his righteousness. Seek that first. Seek his kingdom first. Seek his righteousness first. Then all these things that you're concerned about and worried about and nervous about, God will add them into your life, and you don't have to even worry about it or fret about it. And there's going to be some things that God withholds from you that you don't need. And you know what? The truth is, the more we focus on the kingdom of God, the less we care about those things. Some of the things that we're just so anxious about and so focused on, once we start looking at the beauty of God and his kingdom and what his kingdom means, man, some of that stuff just like, that just doesn't matter anymore. It's not important any longer. So at Promised Land, what we've decided to do is reserve this portion of the year, this beginning of 2020, and really examine our hearts and our life and say, you know, is there anything in my life that's keeping me from looking at the kingdom of God? Is there anything that's distracting me? What should I be focused on more in the kingdom? What should I be looking away from in 2020? So we're calling it 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we started last Sunday. But if you're new or if you just got back in town or whatever, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just jump in right now. Just spend some time, some focused time. Reserve, cut out some time each day, or at least several times a week, and just say, I'm going to give this to God. Wake up early, set an alarm clock, turn off your phone, whatever it takes. Get alone with God. Pray on the way to work, pray after work, wherever you can. And then we're asking everybody just to fast. And that doesn't mean you have to go with just water for the next 2 weeks or anything like that. Just pick something. It can be parts of the day you fast, like breakfast and lunch or dinner, or fast from certain types of food. Fast from Facebook or Instagram for the next couple weeks. Can you do that? Would that be possible? Man, it would help. It would help the brain and the heart so much to turn off the TV. Yesterday, I just said, I'm not watching anything today. And then I was at the house all day, and man, it was so good. Just had Christian music playing in the house all day as I made some soup and I did the laundry and just was with the Lord while I was doing that stuff. So pick some time out. And this is what we're asking ourselves. How can I be in heaven before I die? The good news of Jesus Christ is you don't have to wait until you die to be in heaven. In fact, you can be in heaven today. Heaven can come and intersect with your life right now. Heaven and earth can overlap. Jesus said, wherever I am, the kingdom of God is there. The kingdom is where heaven and earth come together. That's a special place, a glorious place. And I'm going to tell you, when you feel heaven, you feel heaven. When heaven is there, you feel it. It's a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. You just know, like, there's something different about this moment. I'm sure some of you felt that as you were singing today, or as you were just caught up in the songs, the worship, the lyrics, the music. There's something so beautiful about when the worship team leads us into song and music, and we feel there's something that's different about the atmosphere. We feel it. That is heaven and earth coming together. And it feels so good. But here's what I want to tell you. You don't have to wait till the 11:30 service on Sunday when that certain song plays to feel heaven. You can feel it at work. You can feel it at school. Did you believe that? Did you know that? Even at Lehman, even at Texas State, even at San Marcos High School, believe it or not, you can feel the Lord there. He's there. How could that intersect? I want to just drill down into that particular subject right there. Your workplace, your school, whatever you're doing on a daily basis where you spend all that time, all that effort, all that energy, how could we have heaven at work? How could we have heaven at school? I want us to look into Colossians, the fourth chapter and the second verse, and I want to share with you two ways to bring heaven into your workplace or into your school. And this can happen this week. It can happen tomorrow. Now, some of you might think, well, only pastors can take the kingdom into their work because that's what you do. You do kingdom work. But I'm here to tell you today that every person in here is a kingdom, or can be a kingdom-minded person, meaning that you can bring the kingdom of God into your workplace. Whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a business owner, a manager, a student, whatever you are, however you go about your day, you can bring this kingdom. And Jesus said it like this. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. And that's a whole sermon series. I mean, you could say that for days and days. But let me just tell you briefly, you're the salt of the earth. That means you change the flavor of the atmosphere that you're in. You preserve it. Salt's a preserver. You're the light. You're bringing light into dark places. You're changing the atmosphere, the feel of the atmosphere, and the ability to do stuff because you're the light. But also, you're a city set on a hill. And a city set on a hill is such an interesting thing that Jesus teaches us about. A city on a hill was a safe place. And that day and time, if you could get to the city, you would be safe. Because travelers, they would be traveling in the wild, in the darkness, and they would be afraid if they were caught out at night that robbers would come, burglars would come, steal from them. If they could get to the city, they would be safe. That's where the light was. That's where the people were. That's where the walls were. The accountability was in the city. So if they could get to the city, they would be safe. And that's what Jesus is saying is, you're a city at your workplace. You're a safe place for people to get to at your work. I hope that wheels are turning in your head and things are being activated in your heart right now. You are a part of this. It's a big deal. So here's the scripture I want us to look at. Colossians 4 and 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. And you know, that's what we've been talking about. Praying, 21 days of prayer. We're going to pray. I want to encourage you to pray before you go to work, on your way to work, on your commute. Pray before you go to work. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Man, that's a great way to start this off. Thankful. There's so many people that are not thankful, that they just have a job. We're so busy and bitter about we're not getting paid enough, and I don't like my coworkers, and I wish I was working a different division, or and you're just, he just says, just be thankful. First of all, You have a job. You don't really realize the power of that until you don't have one, and then you're like, oh, man. And some of you that are unemployed know what I'm talking about. I just met with a young man that we've been praying with him. He's a new member, just went through our next steps and moved here from Chicago and needed a job. Man, we've been praying for him to get a job, and he came down after service today and said, thank you so much for this message. I just got a great job with a hotel and restaurants and traveling. And man, he's ready. He's thankful. We all need to have that perspective. Thankful that we're in this place. Prayer, watchful, thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. So here's the first way that we bring heaven into work or school is pray and look for open doors. Pray and look for open doors. Now this, I know that we have a lot of stay-at-home moms at Promised Land and homeschooling moms. The concepts I'm talking to you today works at work, works at school, works at co-ops, works at HOA meetings. Anybody ever been to an HOA meeting? Oh, did you hear that? Yeah. You never leave an HOA meeting going, wow, I'm so refreshed. That was awesome. It's awful. But this could work in there. This could work in there. This could work at school. Pray and look for open doors. I'm going to pray for open doors when I go to work. Lord, let me have an open door that I could bring heaven into work today. That heaven and earth could intersect. Lord, I'm praying that I would have an open door today when I walk into that class, when I go to that practice field, when I go into the theater, the band hall, or wherever I'm, whatever interaction I'm having, I want an open door. I'm praying for it. God, I'm asking for you to allow me to be a part of your kingdom. One of the most powerful parts of prayer is Jesus modeled it for us like this. He says, pray thy kingdom. God, your kingdom come, your will be done at work as it is in heaven. He said in earth, right? He said in earth, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the junction of heaven and earth. May it happen in earth. May it happen in my workplace. You're praying, you're asking for these open doors. You're looking for them. Where's it going to be? Where's it going to be? Where's the door going to be? You're expecting them. It's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that 98% of you don't pray like that when you're going to work. Not because you're bad people. It's just because we don't think that way. We haven't been taught it. We don't understand it. You haven't been empowered to think that way. I want to release you to think that way. Think big. God's going to show up today at work. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to experience it. It's going to be an open door. It's going to be awesome. But what do those doors look like? What will the door look like for the kingdom to come and the will, God's will to be done? Some of you are thinking, well, if so-and-so got fired, that would be the kingdom of the Lord. Oh, the kingdom, heaven's open, the glory comes down. Well, if I got an A on this paper, that would be heaven on earth. Or, you know, just if so-and-so, if I made the team or if I made this certain part in the play or whatever. And all of those can be open doors, absolutely. But I want to share with you some other open doors that you may not be thinking about. And sometimes if you think that an open door may be like somebody sitting down in your office and going, I need help and I know you know Jesus. Would you please tell me everything you know about Jesus? And you haven't had that happen to you yet. And so you think, well, I've never had an open door, but open doors look like coworkers that are struggling. Open doors look like students that are upset. Open doors look like bosses that are hurt. Open doors are people that ask you questions. Ask yourself this, where is there unresolved tension at work? Where's there unresolved tension at school that just keeps on happening. It's just there, it's just there, it's just there. It's not going away. You know what? God may actually be opening a door for you to usher in his kingdom into that situation. It's an open door. What about a deadline that's tight? You're trying to work, trying to make something happen, trying to figure something out. There's a tight deadline, and God's saying, here's an open door. I want you to show up, and I want the kingdom of God to show up at this tight deadline. You don't think you're going to make budget. You don't think you're going to make the project in time or whatever, but God is actually, heaven's going to show up because you're going to do the job. You're going to do it great. You're not going to be a complainer. You're not going to be gossiping about coworkers. That's the kingdom of God showing up at work. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Where God is showing up in a supernatural way and helping you accomplish not only the tasks at your job, but you being a part of the kingdom. Negative talk going on around you. Open door. When we intersect with people like this, it's the kingdom of God breaking into our workday. And here's the problem. So oftentimes we see all these things that I'm talking about as distractions. Right? You think, man, if that person would just change, man, it would be, the work would be great. And that's just, I can't even do my job. It's just, and it's a distraction because, I don't want to minimize problems at work. There's some heavy things at work that should change. You want to change them and all of that. But what I am trying to tell you is that God may be doing something in the middle of that, where he is wanting his presence to be made known, and it's not a distraction. Here's the deal. We think that they're a distraction, but really, they're an open door. They're an open door that's disguised as a distraction. This is what Jesus said about it in Mark 1:15. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. What he's saying is that in this moment of your life, the kingdom of God is bursting forth into it. The word there for present or is near or in this moment, the original word kairos means that God's word in his kingdom is coming forth. It's bursting in to your life right now. It's his presence. It's the kingdom of God. And we are to be aware of it. We are to repent. We are to believe in who he is. So how do we do that? Well, I was with a guy the other day, a pastor that I mentor in Austin. He's a young pastor. And as I was talking to him, man, he started going into these problems he was having and on and on. And I'd heard him before because I had talked to him quite a bit, and it's just like this reoccurring thing over and over and over. It keeps happening, keeps going on, and he's just zoning in on it. He can't even think about anything else, and it's this other person he has to work with, and as he's dealing with this person, he's hoping that they get fired. He's hoping that they get transferred. He's hoping that they change. He can't even pastor because he's so zoned in on this person and trying to. And as I was listening to him, I was tempted to start giving him advice and tell him, you know what, if you would talk differently to her, this is how you did this. God started listening. I was listening to this pastor, and I was listening to God at the same time. And I'm sitting here thinking about what this guy's talking about, and I'm asking him questions, and he's talking to me. And I start hearing God say to me, "This is not a coworker. Trust problem. This is your problem. Trust not in God. Coworker. Truth is it. And coworker changed, or." Was fired, or this particular situation got better, his inability to trust God would simply show up somewhere else. It would be in a budget problem, or it would be in a deadline problem, or it would be in whatever other kind of problem. And so it's really not a coworker problem, although that does need to be tweaked a little bit. Really, when you get down deeper, down below the surface, it's that this man's not trusting that God is in control of that situation. And so this is what happened. As I was talking to him, I started feeling that myself while he's talking. And I started feeling the kingdom of God. I started feeling the presence of God. I was like, wow, I feel peace. Ah, I don't have to fix him. I don't have to fix a coworker because this is not my responsibility. This is not my job. I started feeling the presence of God. It was awesome. It was beautiful. And I started thinking, I want to bring him into this. I want him to feel this presence. I want him to feel this peace. And so I led him in a conversation. We talked about it. We talked about God. We talked about him trusting God. And it was this beautiful moment where he had a moment with God, a come to Jesus moment where heaven and earth came together. You know what? We left that lunch appointment and zero had changed with the coworker, right? It wasn't like, okay, let's get on the phone right now. Let's fix her. No. He walked out there going, you know what? God's with me. This is going to happen. You know, totally different perspective. Let's go back to Colossians 4:2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. So he's going to open a door for our message. Look at this next part, so that we may proclaim the mystery for Christ, for which I am in chains. And some of you, if you were describing work, you would say, I am in chains. I hate my job. I don't like my job. I want to be here. But God's saying, even if you don't like your job, you still can participate in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We're praying about it. We're watchful. We're thankful. Some of you need to just write down Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and then read it this week and pray over this. And as you're praying and looking at the scripture, say, Lord, where in my life am I not living the scripture out in my workplace today? I want to live this scripture out in my workplace today. I want to be watchful. I want to be thankful for my job. I'm praying for an open door, Lord. But then when the time comes, when that open door comes, may I be ready to proclaim this amazing mystery, the mystery of Christ. That's what I'm talking to you about. This doesn't quite make sense how this works. It's not about advice. It's not about fixing something. It's a mystery that Jesus Christ is in control and he has the power to make things happen. So we have to be prepared to speak. And I know some of you are nervous about that because you're new to this. You're not comfortable with it. You're not comfortable with scripture or with your faith or whatever. And so just the thought of you speaking to people at work about Jesus makes you nervous. And I get that. I understand that. But I want to demystify that part of it just a little bit. Look at the next verses. It says, be wise. It doesn't say be kooky, be weird. You know, it doesn't even say be bold, right? It says be wise. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. There's another place in scripture where Jesus says, you know what? If you get sent before kings or rulers and you have to say something, the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say before you say it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I want to share with you the thought here that is going to help you walk with wisdom. That's really what we need to do here. We need to pray and look for open doors, but we're going to walk with wisdom. And I want to give you one little tool to walk with wisdom. But before I do, if this general message has been hard for you to grasp and you don't know how to walk this out, I want to invite you to come to our Disciple Weekend that's coming up in March. And some of you that have been through Disciple Weekend, as I've been speaking this message, you're like, I can see you nodding your head because you know where I'm headed with this stuff. Disciple Weekend is a three-day intensive. It starts on Friday night, so those of you that work a normal shift won't have to miss work. Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday evening, and we're going to give you, it's like a boot camp, a disciple boot camp, where we go through the story of God. We start from ground zero, and so if you're brand new and don't know much about the Bible, this will help you, give you a good foundation of the Word of God and the story of God. But then we follow it up with some really good teaching on how to communicate the gospel and how to do exactly what I'm talking about today, how to experience an open door, the kingdom bursting forth in your life, how to recognize that, and then how to walk with wisdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe. Now, if you say that to somebody at work, you're probably going to have a difficult situation. You're probably going to get fired if you tell somebody, repent and believe. So we're going to walk with wisdom. We're going to walk with wisdom in that. But I want to tell you what, there's going to be a day and a time when you get confident in this, and you have to practice this. And you have to, in small groups, when we meet in small groups, and if you're not in a small group yet, there's a flyer out in the foyer. I want you to grab it on your way out, or those of you online, you can go to our list on our website. But in small groups, this is the same kind of thing where we're talking about this and the kingdom's breaking forth and we're discipling one another. But when we walk with wisdom, here's one nugget I want to give you today that will help you in this, and that is, instead of push, 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 or preach, preach, preach to somebody, I want you to ask, 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 okay? I want you to be able to just simply ask questions and not try to force anything, not try to push anything on somebody, not try to prove anything or convince anybody or persuade anybody. Instead, I want you to just simply rest in it. And like I was doing in that lunch the other day, just simply ask questions. And there's times I've been pastoring here for almost 17 years here, and I get bombarded with questions and life situations. People come and talk to me, and there's so many times I'm intimidated. I don't know what to tell them. I'm lost. I can't figure it out. It's so complicated. And this aunt's mad, and this person's divorced over here, and this person stole money, and kids leaving, and I can't fix it. I don't know what to say. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my mentality. But I just sit there and go, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Lord, I need heaven right now. Lord, I need you right now. Be in the middle of this. And so I'm like praying that in the back of my head, and I'm listening to them. Keep talking, keep talking, keep talking. And if you will just simply step back and ask questions instead of trying to be forceful or trying to prove something. If you'll just ask questions, then I'm going to tell you what, God's going to show up in the middle of that, and God's going to make himself known. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful. You probably didn't even realize this could happen. I'm here to tell you, it can, and it will. Would you stand to your feet right now? We want to pray. I want to close in prayer. If everybody would just simply close your eyes and bow your head right now. We're gonna talk to God, and I can talk to God with you, but I really can't do it for you. So I'm gonna encourage everybody in here today to talk to God with me. And we're gonna start with people that you don't know God yet. You've been thinking about a relationship with him. You've been contemplating a relationship with him, and maybe you're at that point today. And I'm here to say today that if you're at that point, you're there. You don't have to get me to approve you. You don't have to go through a class or graduate or anything like that. All you have to do is just surrender your heart and surrender your mind to him right now and just say, Jesus, I want in. Would you do that with me right now with every head bowed and every eye closed? Nobody looking around. Just me and you and God right now. And we're not worried or concerned about what anything else is going on with. The football game's on. You're gonna make it. You get to watch it later. All right. Right now, it's just you and God in this moment. Just tell him right now, Lord, I want in. Would you say that, Lord? I want in with you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please help me with my life, Lord. I need you. Just be honest with him right now, Lord. I need you today. Please help me, God. Please give me your strength, Lord. I'm sorry for the things I've done that are not like you. I want to be with you from this day forward. I trust in you, Jesus. I don't understand everything, but I put my faith in you. I'm looking to you from this day forward. Be with me, God. Fill me with your spirit. Baptize me with your love and with your peace. I pray and believe it in Jesus' name. Now let's pray, everybody. Those of us that are going to school this week, those of us going back to work, those of us going to be meeting with people and having to deal with people, have relationship with people. Lord, how can heaven and earth intersect in my workplace? How can heaven and earth intersect with my school? Lord, I'm praying for open doors in every person's life in this congregation. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice, even those of you watching online right now, I'm praying that heaven and earth come together in places that you least expect it. But God, we're going to start expecting it. We're going to start opening our eyes to it. We're going to start longing for it and expecting it and asking for it and ready. We're going to be ready to speak and walk with wisdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for being with us today. There's a connection card in the seat back in front of you if you're new to Promised Land and want to connect with us this week. That's a great way to do it. Fill out that connect card. Drop it in the boxes as you leave. There's black boxes. You can drop it on the way out as you leave. We want to connect with you and pray with you. There's also going to be a Tuesday evening prayer session this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you. It's 1 hour long. Bring your kids. And we had like 40 people here last Tuesday night, and it was really, really neat. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.